It's nice and cool in here. At one time, I don't know what it finally got to. I looked at my, looked on to my weather on my phone, and it, I forgot what it said. It said it felt like 108 out there. I don't know what it got to. One, I was listening to the radio one, last evening before, and one of the weather people said it could get to 110 today, what would feel like 110. So I saw it was 98 and it was 108, so I don't know whether it ever got up to the 100-digit mark or not. Huh? It got pretty close, William was saying. Well, one guy said, if hell's hotter than this, I sure don't want to go there. But thank God for air conditioning. But did you know it costs money? That's what your offerings go toward, to keep heat and air and stuff and lights. Okay? You know, there are several things in life that contribute to our success. But do you know the number one ingredient is confidence? And if they want a title, sometimes they want titles. Your confidence has great reward. Not only confidence in what God can do, but confidence what we can do with God's help. When a person has confidence, they can accomplish amazing things. Without confidence, many will never see things happen in their lives. I don't know who said this. It said it's anonymous, but it says, when our grip on confidence is lost, the songs remain unsung, the books are never written, buildings are never built, mountains are never conquered, and the dream remains only a dream. Confidence is the ingredient that's absolutely essential for our success in life, both spiritually and naturally. Without confidence, you will never walk in the victory that God wants you to walk in, either spiritually or in the natural. So many times people want to relegate everything with God to spiritual, and yes, it's there, but if you'll study, you'll find out in looking at Joseph, looking at Jacob, who became Israel, looking at Abraham. In the Old Testament, God was interested in them being blessed naturally. So, this word confidence, both in the Hebrew and the Greek, it has the idea of assurance. You know, when you get an invitation to go to someplace, and like, oh, we, Lynette and I got invited a couple years ago or a year or two ago, I don't know how long it was, to a deal at the governor's mansion. Well, I was assured that when I got there, I would be able to get in the gate and be able to go there. Why? I had confidence because of the invitation. You see, we need to learn to have confidence. And I say it like this all the time. You got to believe you can before you can. I got that from one of my coaches back in high school about 10 years ago. I wish. He would say, you'll never accomplish it if you don't have the confidence that you can do it. Believe you can do it before it ever happens. I used to hear my dad say to people that were going to get, you know, believe in God for healing, say, see yourself healed. See yourself in there with whatever it is that you're believing God for. See yourself with that. I told a guy one time, a guy said, he said, I've been believing for a new car for 2 years. I said, no, you hadn't. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, number one, if you got a new car, you couldn't park it in the garage because it's full of junk. I said, if you really believe God's going to give you a new car, you would have confidence enough to go out there and clean the garage out so you could put your new car in it. Confidence gives you the ability to go and to do something, accomplish something, both naturally and spiritually. You know, David was one that held on to his confidence. Man, he had to triumph and he had to be confident in a lot of situations if you study his life. Go to Psalms 91, 1 through 5. I'm going to read this from the NIV tonight. Psalms 91, verse 1 through 5. Give you a chance to turn there. I see people turning. Okay. In you, O Lord, I've taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the evil and cruel men. For you have, now this is what I want you to get hold of. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. The Amplified says in that verse 5, for you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth and the source of my confidence. Then, you know, the Voice Bible says, for you are my hope, Eternal One. You, Lord, have been the source of my confidence since I was young. I want you to notice that the psalmist here said the Lord had been his confidence since his youth. He had been assured, in other words, since his youth, that God was there for him and with him. Ever since he was young, he was confident that the Lord would never let him down. In all of his difficulties, David maintained a confidence in God. You know, if you read his life, man, time and time again, he had to remind himself that, hey, my confidence is God. He had to remind himself to rely on his Jehovah God. Now, have you ever noticed that as we go through life, our journey is sort of, it's ebb and flow. You ever notice that sometime you be on a mountaintop and then sometimes you're in the valley, but you don't lose your confidence in either one. Sometimes everybody, if they're up here high on the mountain, oh yeah, man, they've got great confidence. But if everything's not going right and they're going through the valley, they lose their confidence. And they say, and then they instead of saying what God says, instead of having confidence in saying what the Word says, they start saying, oh, I don't understand. I don't understand what's happening. Yesterday, everything was so good. And today, everything is gone crazy. Oh, I used to feel so close to God, and now I don't feel him at all. You see, you're going to have confidence. God's with you whether you feel it or not. Everything was so going so great yesterday, and now my life is the biggest mess I've ever seen. See, this is what happens when people, when life is ebbing and flowing like we always do. We got life is that way. You're going to be up one day, down the next, or, you know, the devil going to throw things at you. But your confidence, whether you're up, down, sideways, or whatever, Your confidence has got to be in the Word of God, what God said. My confidence is not in my ability alone. I have ability. You have ability. Every one of us has natural ability, and we got to have some confidence in our natural ability, but my main confidence is in what God can do and what God can help me to do. You know, sometimes some people pray, oh, Lord, do this, do that. No, really, you need to pray, Lord, help me to do this. Because it's something that has to be done in the natural. Come on now. Confidence is important. You know, situations change constantly, but our confidence should remain steady, even keel, all the time. Because we are not confident in ourselves. We are confident in what God said, who we were, what we are, what we can achieve, what we can accomplish. That's where our confidence is, in Him. And that's why I go back to why I teach it all the time. The redemptive reality is who we are in Christ. When you really get a hold of who you are in Christ and what you can do because you're in Christ, you have a confidence. You know, you can't depend on people. They change their mind. Promises are made by some people, and sometimes they're kept, and sometimes they're not. Sometimes we face trouble, and sometimes things run smoothly. Now, the question that I have for you to ask yourself, what do we do in the midst of living this life down here on earth? David said that his confidence was in the Lord. No matter what happened, he was confident that God would bring him out victoriously. You go read the story of that 17-year-old, in which most scholars think that he was around 17, or maybe just past 17, when he faced the giant. He had to have some kind of confidence. Somebody said he was brave. Well, he was. But you see, his confidence was in God. Because he let the giant mouth off all he wanted to, and then he opened his mouth and started talking. And he said, I come at you in the name of the Lord God Jehovah, the God of Israel. This day, this is what I'm going to do. Now, does that sound like somebody that's afraid? He had confidence. He believed in his ability to sling that rock with that slingshot, because you got to know what you're doing if you're going to put a rock in a sling and make it go. Try it sometime. Just make sure you don't hit yourself in the head. Then he had confidence in what he could do, but then his main confidence is in what God would do with what he was doing. You know, when you stand in a batter's box and you got a guy throwing a ball at you, I played fast pitch softball when I started in 16 and played till they didn't have fast pitch no more. Men's fast pitch, if you've never played it, it is a fast, fast game. If you got a good pitcher throwing that ball in there, it will be the equivalent of a baseball doing 100 miles an hour. And when you stand in there, you got to have confidence that he's going to throw the ball where it's supposed to be. Come on now. I was playing with Southside Assembly there, Garland. We had the SAD department, Southside Athletic Department. And we played in the Flag Football League and the Fast Pitch, and it was a church league fast pitch, and then we'd go into Dallas, and we won, and we would play in the Open League with these companies like Texas Instruments sponsored these people. They traveled all over playing softball. That's what they got paid to do, was travel and play softball. And they couldn't believe this church league team could play like we could. But there in Garland, in our league, one of the high school coaches, if you were a right-handed batter and you got in that batter's box, and I've never seen anybody do it, I bailed out. I've never seen anybody stay in the batter's box because he had a curve, and it was coming straight at your hip. When it got about right here, it goes, boom, right across the plate. And everybody's bailing out of the box, and umpire, strike. You got to have confidence to steel yourself and stay there until that ball makes that break across there. I used to bunt a lot, and he was one of the coaches, and he said, Hagen, he said, if you notice, I don't throw you that ball no more. And I said, yeah. I said, yeah. He said, because he said, you will wait on it, and when it gets there, you get it every time. He said, I'll throw you a rise ball. It's hard. I don't know if you ever played pass pitch softball, but it's hard to put a bunt down on the ground if that pitcher's throwing the rise, because the ball's going up, and you got to get on top of it to get it down on the ground. If you play baseball, you know what I'm talking about. But you got to have confidence. You got to believe in yourself when you get in that batter's box. If you believe you're going to strike out when you get in that batter's box, you'll strike out because you don't have any confidence. You don't believe you can hit the ball. You got to believe, and I want to encourage you tonight, to have your confidence in God and His promises no matter what. It's actually a choice you make. The writer of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. The New International Version says, so don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. The New Century Version says, so do not lose the courage you had in past, which has great reward. Then it goes on, 36 says, you must hold on so that you can do what God wants and receive what He has promised. Amen. Here, actually, the New King James says, don't cast away, don't throw away your confidence. Don't lose your courage. See, if you lose your confidence, you'll lose courage. You won't have any courage. You know, we need to hold on to our confidence. Why? Because the writer of the Hebrews says it has great reward. Turn to your neighbor and say, the confidence in the Word brings great reward. You know, so many times people start out with confidence in believing God, and they're declaring what's going to happen, and they're excited, and their confidence is really high, but something happens. You know, I was watching the Little League World Series on the TV this past weekend. And one boy, they hit a home run off of him. And the coach come out there, and they had the coach mic'd, and he was talking to him, and he just said, hey, don't worry about it. That happens. He's a good hitter. He hit your ball. Now, forget about that. and get this next man out, because they had two outs already. Get this next man out. What he was doing was restoring his confidence, getting him to believe in himself. See, what we need to do whenever we start losing our confidence is to go to the Word immediately and begin to quote what the Word of God says. What happens in the natural when our expectations don't come in like we think, like they think they should, if we're not careful, we become, I guess God's forgot about me this time. I guess it's not going to happen. I thought I could do this. I guess I can't. You need to get rid of the word can't. The word can't be done doesn't exist around here. Don't tell Miss Lynette it can't be done. If you're an employee here, you found that out. They told me, can you let that globe down? I think it'll come down. There it comes. They told me that couldn't be done when we were building this building. They said, that can't be done. I said, it can. I told them what I wanted. I wanted a globe, and I wanted to be able to come down. I wanted to have lights on it. They don't have them on. That's all right. You don't have to turn the lights on. And they said, it can't be done. I said, I don't know why it can't. I've seen equipment that has a telescoping deal on it, and it telescopes out. I said, why can't you hook a globe to that and let it telescope down? Come on. They said, well, I don't know. I said, you can take rebar and you can bend it and weld it together and make like a ball, and then you put some mesh wiring around it, and then you take some fiberglass and you mix it up and you put it around it, and there it is. But they told me it couldn't be done. I said, it can. Do you know that most things that people say can't be done can be done if somebody will just put their mind to it and think about it in the natural? How much stronger is that in the spiritual when you start asking God to give you wisdom to how to accomplish something? Come on. Anybody getting anything out of this? In the spiritual area, the enemy comes at us to take our confidence away. He'll harass your mind. He'll give you thoughts. He'll send somebody across your path, whatever you're believing for, to tell you how so-and-so is doing the same thing and they died. Or they didn't get it or whatever. The forces of darkness will come against you to steal the word so that you can't receive. But if you'll hold your confidence in the word, the Bible says it has great reward. I'm not trying to paint a picture of doom and gloom, but I'm trying to warn you that the enemy will attack. That is what his job is, if you want to say it that way. Jesus tells us he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Right there. He's going to steal the word from you. He's going to steal your confidence. And that will destroy you. You know, you got to determine that you're going to persevere before you ever get into battle. You got to have that determination. Maintain your confidence. Middle of May. I'm in middle October 1962. I boarded a bus in Dallas, Texas with 50 more guys, I think, we had on the bus, or 49, 48, I don't know how many was on there. And everybody was talking about, oh, it's going to be so rough. Oh, my uncle told me I probably won't make it, and blah, 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 blah. And this guy, there's several guys sitting around there talking. I said, guys, let me tell you something. You won't make it unless you make up your mind right now. There's no sergeant that's going to cause me not to make it. Nobody's going to stop me from it. I said, I will make it. Nothing can keep me from making it. And y'all are all 18, 17, 18 years old. I'm 23 years old, but I'm going to tell you right now, I will make it. There's nothing. But I determined before I ever got there that there wasn't no drill sergeant that was going to keep me from accomplishing the goal of graduating from boot camp. Now, I don't know what they do in the Army now, but anybody was in back in the 60s, they did everything they could to discourage you. Why? Because they wanted to see if you had what it took to be a good soldier. Paul talks about being a good soldier when he's writing to Timothy. He tells him, endure hardships. Come on. You got to have confidence. You got to believe. You got to say, Mr. Devil, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you're bringing. I'm coming through on top. I'm going to be victorious. Come on. See, we got to keep a firm grip on our confidence. You know, you can tell how confident people are by the way they walk. In a situation. Lynette and I, years ago, somebody told us about a restaurant, and it was I had on suit and ties on a Sunday morning. It was a Mexican restaurant, and we were going to go there to eat. And when I walked in, I realized, hey, this ain't it. Because, the guys that were sitting in there, one guy was walking around, had a knife hanging off his belt, and I could just, the guys know what I'm talking about. I don't know whether you ladies do or not, but I could tell by looking at them, hey, I can't show any weaknesses. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Man, I squared my shoulder, I grabbed her hand, and we walked to that booth, and we sat down in that booth, and I said, order and eat as fast as you can, and we're getting out of here. But when I was walking in, man, I had my shoulder square back. You know, I'd give a little swagger. You got to show you got confidence. How many know what I'm talking about? I got some guys raising their hand. They know what I'm talking about. I did the same thing walking out of there. We got in the car. I said, "Ooh, that was a tough situation." You didn't realize it, but the minute I walked in and I saw those guys, I mean, how many of you guys know that you can just walk into a place and see some guys and know what's going on right then? I mean, hey, you just know. I think Anthony, when we were out on the road, he's talking about being from Detroit, he talking about being street smarts, you know. After a while, you get street smarts. See, we have got to make up our mind that we're going to be confident no matter what. Amen. No matter what. I'm going to walk in the promises of God. I'm confident that God is going to help me. And you learn to walk and face your fears. People always saying, oh, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid this is going to happen. I'm afraid this is going to happen. Hey, don't be afraid of what's going to happen. Somebody asked my dad one time, Brother Hagin, what do you think's going to happen? He said, I can tell you what's going to happen, exactly what the Bible says. Amen. Now somebody said, that's bold, but that's what you got to have, that kind of confidence if you're going to succeed in the spiritual area with God. It's one thing to have something, but it's another thing to actively be involved in doing that. You know? It's one thing to be told about how to use an air hammer, jackhammer, some of you will call it. It's one thing to be told that. June of 1958, I just graduated from high school. And if any of you are old enough to remember, there was sort of a recession going on, and it was hard to get a job. But I finally got a job that on Kingsley Road there. They were jackhammering out a bridge and going to put in a new bridge, and they had to jackhammer these. It was like this, and then they had these concrete wings that went out like this. Well, the foreman, he took me over and he said, "All right, Hagen, here. This is a jackhammer. This is the way it works." He said, "Now, you do, you just go start here and go here and go here and go here at the bottom. Go back up at the top. Do the same thing. Move over about 3 feet maybe and do the same thing." Well, it's one thing for him to do it and show me. It's another thing for this 18-year-old had never had one of them in his hand in his life. And I reach up there and I start up here on the wall. I'm sitting there and I go, in the fan. And it almost pulled me down. But I finally was able to work it. But I'll tell you the end of that story. I worked there till noon and they said, "Okay, we're going." And so I went, my house wasn't very far, so I went back to the house and mom and to get something to eat. And I've been out there like it was today. It's 100 and something degrees. I mean, not just felt like it was 104 degrees. That was the temperature. And I opened the door and that air conditioner hit me in the face and I passed out. Well, by the time I come to and went back, I'd lost my job. But that's just the way it was back in those days. He had no money. He said, "I don't care. I don't care if you blacked out." And he said, "I understand. But I had to get somebody to do that job." So, you know, well, that was my jackhammer days. But it was one thing to be told about it. It was another thing to actually get involved. It's one thing to read the Bible. It's one thing to be told about it. But it's another thing to face the enemy when he is coming at you with everything he's got, to have the confidence to keep at it, the endurance. I said, that first part, first time I tried it, I said, I'm gonna conquer this. See, you got to believe it. You know what? It's one thing to have a car sitting out there. It's another thing to have the confidence enough to get in it and take off. You know, I took flying lessons. I was almost ready to get my pilot's license, and I realized that a lot of people crash because they don't have enough time to really be a good pilot. They don't do what's necessary. But I was taking lessons, and we was shooting touch and goes, landings, and we was coming down the runway, and it was in a small little country airport, and the instructor, Harlan Yates was his name, he said, stop. I stopped. And he started unbuckling, and he got out and closed it. He said, "Take it around." And he got out, closed the door, walked off. Well, I give it the power. And didn't have no trouble taking off. Didn't have no trouble turning that base leg. No trouble coming downwind, turn. But when I turn final, and I'm coming down, and I'm looking at that runway, and Harlan's not sitting over here. If I mess up, I ain't got nobody sitting there like he had done when we started. And so I said, "Okay, Hagen, you've done this before. You can land this plane." And I did. Had no problem. But you see, if I had lost my confidence, I'd have crashed that thing. Because if I'd have went down coming toward that runway and said, oh, I don't know whether I can do this or not. Man, I'd have crashed. I'm serious. I had to talk myself. I said, hey, I've been trained. I've been doing this. I've been shooting these landings. I've been doing it for 2 months now. I can land this aircraft. I had to talk confidence into myself. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've got to talk confidence into yourself. You got to believe it. You got to keep everything with God. Keep it there. Know by knowing what the Word says. Your confidence is in the Word, not in what you not. It's in what the Word says. Listen to the verses that you read. I mean, we know all these verses. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and shall have them. John 14:13. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do. If you ask anything in my name, 14 says, I will do it. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done. See, I want you to notice it saying here, you got to have confidence. You got to believe what this Bible says. You got to keep your confidence. You know, you got to believe it. Have confidence. I've used this before, but it's a good story. It tells exactly what I'm talking about. We left a meeting. I was about 5 years old, sitting right behind Dad. Mom was here, sis on the back seat. We left that meeting. We drove for a while. They went to sleep. I'm sitting there. Dad sees the service station. He pulls in that service station, puts the gas in, and gas was cheap back then. It was 16 cents a gallon. When I was in Bible college, sometimes we had 19.9 gas. But anyway, he got in the plane, and I asked Dad. I said, "It don't look like you filled it up." He said, "Son, I used all the money that I had." And he said, okay, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask the Lord to get us to Mama's house. That was in McKinney, Texas, and we're way out in West Texas. I'm 5 years old, so you can do the math. And I watched that gas gauge go onto empty, and that car still kept running. It sputtered one time, and Dad said, no, this car's running. Till we get to Mama's house, I believe what the Bible says. The Lord knows if I'd have had the money, I'd have put all the. But I didn't have the money to fill it up. All I had was enough money to put this in, and I thank you, Lord. And that engine picked up and purred. But you see, he had confidence. He had confidence. You see, I'm talking about holding on to your confidence, no matter what's happening, what's coming your direction. Good. It's easy to have confidence in the good times, but when the devil is knocking you around, it's pretty hard to have confidence. Hello? I was associate pastor, my father-in-law, and he'd built this barge, and the church used it for the church. The youth used it. The men used it. Him and me and several of the men of the church had gone out on it, and we had a load of Christmas trees that we'd had, and we went out and we baited some areas in the lake where we could go. Well, I told him, I said, Dad, look at that. There's a storm coming. It's bad. It's a bad storm coming. We got to get in. Okay, let's finish this up. So we did. But, man, we're going across that lake. And it's getting really rough. I mean, you're getting 2 foot waves, and they're all inside. And it's raining and everything. They're inside, and I said to myself, I went out, and I got a hold of. I stood out on the deck, and I was holding on because, man, it was rough. But I didn't have any confidence that if I'm inside that thing and this thing goes down, that I can get out. But if I'm out here, I had confidence that I'm out here, I can get out here because there ain't no walls. If it goes down, I can get out and swim. But you see, my confidence was in myself being able to take care of myself. Back here, I felt cooped in. I felt like I was locked in, and there's 8 or 10 guys in there, and it was really crowded. So my confidence wasn't any, but once I got out there, I was plenty confident. I didn't have any problem. What I'm trying to tell you, you're going to feel hemmed in, but you're going to have confidence in the Word and begin to walk out on the Word of God and get out of the mess. And let your mess be turned into victory. Amen. Yeah, we used to sing a song, standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. You can sing that till you're blue in the face, but if you don't have the confidence that it's going to work, it won't. Heavenly Father, I just try to remind the people tonight to have the confidence in the Word no matter what happens. No matter what they see, no matter what they feel, they have confidence in your Word. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Stand up on your feet. Now you can take the same things I was talking about and put them into action in the natural. You got to have that confidence in the natural too. If you happen to be in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I want you to find him before you leave here tonight. If you know what it is to follow Christ, but you know you're not where you're supposed to be, and you need to rededicate your life to God, tonight's the night to do it. This is the time. Now is the time. If you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Come down here. And they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Connection team, go find our first-time guest. Take them back there in the lobby. We have a special gift for you that we want you to receive. If you're looking for a church home, we say, welcome home. Just come on, be a part of us. We have a great time in here. Remember Sunday morning right here? Remember all the announcements. If you want to know about the baptismal service, it's in the bulletin. The bulletin is full of stuff. So get one, pick one up, or go to the rhema.org and go to our church, Rhema Bible Church, and read it online. As we're dismissed, if you need prayer for anything, salvation, rededication, infilling of the Holy Spirit, you want somebody to pray with you about anything, ladies are here and the men are over here. Come to the front right now. As we're dismissed, and they'll pray with you. Turn around, shake hands with somebody. I'm not going to lose my confidence. What about you? You're dismissed. God bless. We'll see you Sunday.